What up, what up? We back. Episode, I believe it's 142. If I'm wrong, refer to the podcast title. But we're back. I'm back from some international travel, the lens of Nippon. And I come back to you, a humbled and a enlightened man. At least until the vacation novelty wears off in a couple of days when I'm no longer jet lagged. But we had a lot to catch up on. It's been a little while. This has been one of my longest vacations away, and while I am still exhausted from it, it was a very restorative experience. Not that any of you are asking. Anyway, what do we talk about this week? So I know I always say this, but it's often true, but more this time than usual because, like I said, we had a lot to talk about. So Gundam Kooks, we talked about that. Kowloon Generic Romance, talked about that. Lazarus, big hitter, talked about that. Grant gives a very comprehensive spring anime review. There's about 37 of them. I'm kidding, there's like five or six, but they're in the episode description. I give my completely spoiler-free, like I'm very serious about this. I don't touch anything with a 10-foot pole, but I give my very spoiler-free and very brief review of my experience reading the Jujutsu Kaisen manga in its entirety. We get quite deep on The Last of Us Season 2. There have been some pretty major episodes of that. We give a very healthy spoiler warning, so you need not worry, but we go quite in-depth on that. Before wrapping up with some quick hitters like Daredevil Born Again series, The Pit, Sinners, the movie currently in theaters, Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan, and some light news on superhero stuff and whatnot. Feels really great to be back. Thank you so much for listening and waiting. And I think I said at the end of the episode that I was going to plug our socials because I forgot to during the episode. So this is me doing that now. Follow us, Part Time Otaku Podcast, on Instagram, TikTok, wherever you listen to podcasts, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. Subscribe in those places. We're here bi-weekly. Go ahead and do that and enjoy the show. Ooh, hey there, Grant.
Hey, dude.
What's up, buddy?
Just glad to see that beautiful face again.
We're back, man. We're back.
20 plus days of just texting it doesn't do it for me. I need to hear the voice, need to see the face. So
yeah,
glad you're back.
and across like a 13 hour time difference. It proved particularly tricky, but I'm back.
It honestly though, Dave, it worked out very well for me. Like obviously, like you're having the time of your life there, but like you were kind of going to bed when I was getting up early. So like there was like a good like hour and a half window every morning and evening for you, and then the inverse when I was roughly going to bed. You were kind of like waking up, so there was like really good like peak windows of like, hey, you're waking up, messaging time. So like it worked out really well for you being gone.
We caught each other more than I thought we would, because like you don't know sometimes, like with the time difference, are we gonna miss each other at every possible moment? But like, yeah, you're up early, and then like we're doing dinner and whatnot. So yeah, it all kind of worked out.
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, I had a blast. I feel like honestly, like
For the listener or viewer,
I think
I was
everyone
in.
knew.
I know. I don't know,
Yeah,
in case you didn't listen to the last
we
one,
talked to them.
I was in Japan. But keep
But
going.
it was fun. Like like I had wondered of like like you see stuff in Japan like on our algorithms like every
Yeah.
day, and it's like it feels like close but so far away.
Yeah.
And yours and Sam's like very very like constant like up to date. Again, asking we were very much asking for it as much as we could, but like it definitely felt the most like genuine experience for us being here, like seeing you guys. Like I felt like we were there too in a way, like just
Yeah,
'cause like
yeah.
the closeness between you guys and us. So it was a lot of fun, but
Good,
I
I'm
really
glad.
it was a good way to experience it vicariously. So
It was fun filming all the content. And yeah, like it's like a fun little it's a fun experience seeing these things in real life after so much anticipation and whatnot. Yeah, highly restorative experience, like the best kind of culture shock I've experienced. Wild place. Definitely somewhere I think that we'll go back again. I think the only thing, if there's one nitpick, it's like 3 weeks was maybe a touch long. Like,
Oh yeah.
well, it's just we're homesick, we miss the
Sure.
cats, we miss like the routine, like, 9 hotels in 3 weeks, like that's a lot of like moving around. You get tired. It's like hard to have a lazy night when you're on the go so much.
Sure.
And yeah, you just miss the comfort of home and the routine and all that. Like, as you know, like I'm very routine oriented. I was like, I just can't wait to have the same fucking smoothie in my own house
mm.
every morning. You know what I mean?
By I want to hear the obnoxious loud coffee machine going off at the same time every day. You know what yeah. I mean? Like, yeah, yeah, I know you did.
Yeah, a little
yeah, that's funny.
But no, it was a blast.
Right on, man. Glad you had fun.
So we've got some content to get through.
We got a lot of stuff to get through.
What do you want to start on?
Do you want me to do like the quick blast of like anime spring preview stuff? Like I know there's a couple that you may or may not have checked out.
Mm-hmm.
I know there's some ones that I for sure didn't even bring up to you. I know you weren't going to watch or have the time to watch rather.
Yeah.
So I can get through some of those and then we can get to, you know, the ones that we did or you did watch. So did you check out G-Quax?
Gundam.
Yeah.
G-Quax.
I think G-Quacks is... Yeah, I know. It's very
strange. I think strange. It's
G-Quacks. I really hope they kind of iron out why it's called that. If not, just left in the
the
abyss. That'd be funny, too.
I did. But, so this is the Gundam series that's, like, co-created? Or co-written? Or...
I think... I did a little bit of reading on
by
it.
By the Neon Genesis Evangelion.
I think there's inspiration. It's his... A part of his studio is working on it. Like, one of his head guys.
Right.
Underneath Anno is working on it. But like within the first like two episodes, like it's like, oh yeah, like
you can see the influence.
I can see some, I think style is very much Ava.
Yeah.
Kind of like that Gainax feel in a lot of ways, like just based on the movements, like the really long strides, you know, like I think that was like some of the biggest pulls from the pilot.
I did for the record. I think I said yes, but yes, I've seen three episodes of it.
I've only seen two, so I am behind on the two recent ones. But did you just want to jump into that? You want to
talk about
that? All right, so what'd you think?
I think
first real Gundam.
Yeah, first real series. Gundam I've seen, especially modern. And yeah, I like it. I never went back and watched it, but there was that Gundam
The Witch from Mercury.
And I remember an issue that I had with that. Not an issue, but just something I noticed was like, they were really cutting in between like plot points, like this set of characters, and then that set of characters. And I was like, what's the relationship here?
Mm-hmm.
This is similar.
And we'll iron some of that out for sure.
So like to your point earlier, it's very vibey. I really like the animation. I like the world building. I'm enjoying it. I will continue to watch. Okay.
Right now?
But yeah, like there's definitely some confusion. Like I don't know about the world building. Am I supposed to know who is who and all these references to these factions? Am I supposed to know that? And then also, like, I don't think this is a spoiler, but like the episodes are not necessarily in the order of occurrence. So it's not necessarily linear.
No, there is some confusion. So there was a couple of weeks ago or months ago, there was a like a movie, like a theater release similar to like Mugen, or not Mugen, similar to like Blue Lock was an episode brought to the big screen kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
You know how the like Swordsmith Village with Demon Slayer and Jujutsu Kaisen and whatnot. So in the timeline, like there's various like strands of Gundam lore and history, but this story is an alternate to the original,
okay,
like the Universal Century story. So the second episode where you see like the guy in the, you know, the mask and you know, kind of coming in, so that is the original, that's a remaking of the original series.
So I was like, he seems kind of familiar.
Yeah, he's like a very iconic like character. Char, I believe his name is.
Yeah.
The Red Comet.
Yes, he had the Red Gundam.
Yes, so in the original... So anyway, I watched the pilot of this, and then I went and did the reading, and I was like, oh, this is like... It was like, you know, the worst thing you can tell someone is like, you need to go watch like 24 episodes of a TV show from the late 70s, early 80s, you know, like that. But there is three movies, so I watched all three movies.
Jesus.
Which, they're like almost 2 hours a piece, but like they sum up... It's like a compilation of the original series.
Okay.
So, like, the second episode is just an inverse of what happened in the original series, where in the original series, they show up there, same way, but they don't steal, like, the Gundam, you know? Like, that's kind of just laying there. Someone mans that and fights him. So, like, this is a reverse story of, like, you know, the colonists from the space colonists when they invade. So essentially they win the war in this timeline, whereas they don't in the original series.
Okay.
So it does help having some history of the original Gundam to kind of do that. But I think once it gets past that, I'm not sure what episode 3 is or 4. The most recent episode just came out today, I think. So it's going to cut back to like the current time of this series, where I think it just helps. Like, again, like even just describing, like, this is such a mouthful. This is kind of convoluted and complicated, but at the very least, I'm in it for the vibes.
Yeah.
And for the cool fights. It is like a little, it's not a gripe, but it was like, I think we were spoiled with Witch of Mercury, where all the fights, all the mobile suit and the Gundam fights were 2D.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of like there's some like blending of 2D and 3D animation.
Some is quite good.
It looks amazing, but we were really spoiled with Witch for Mercury. I don't know. I love it. The tone, like there's a shot in the pilot where the two girls are up on the roof and it's like a panning shot of the city of like the colony.
Yeah.
Of like kind of the transition from like day to nighttime, or the way that, like, they turn off, you know, cause they have to, you know, make their own like sunlight and whatnot. Yeah.
So cool. The movies you watched, were those from like the 70s and 80s?
Yep.
And they're with the original, what's it, Char?
Char, yeah. Yeah. Mm. So
I wonder if I should watch it, because I liked that character and I was like, oh, this is pretty exciting.
Oh, dude. After having watched them, I was like, I understand like why Gundam is as big as it is. Like, if this is what was coming out in
and
the
it's
80s,
all like it, hand drawn old school stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Because obviously.
Yeah. Yeah, so there's three movies, they're compilations of the first season.
Are they on Crunchyroll?
Yep.
Oh, dude, maybe I spin that up. That kind of sounds like a fun.
It was really good. I think for, like, you know, just for the purposes of, like, kind of being, like, more aware of kind of, I think the first one for now would be, like, a good watch.
Yeah.
But, like, even in, like, in the pilot episode, like, there's that green spaceship that they're in.
Yeah.
That's, like, the main, it's called White Base in the original Gundam. And that's, like, the main character's, like, you know, kind of command center.
Hmm.
So it just kind of show, like, you know, the enemies of, or the, you know, the invaders from the original series now have it, and like it's just really cool how they, after having watched it and going back and rewatching the second episode, I was like, oh, that's really cool how they kind of flip things around.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm sure like OG Gundam fans watch this new series, and just having something new on an original story was probably just like amazing, you know.
Right.
Like, it's so much fun.
That is context I didn't know about any of that, so
yeah,
that's helpful.
Yeah. I didn't bring it up when I told you to watch it, just because I was like, I didn't want to scare you.
No, I don't blame you. That would have been a weird, like a difficult message to send.
Yeah, but
sometimes you just got to watch the thing and ask questions later. And like, if you're curious, if you're listening to this and you're curious, should I try this Gundam thing? Like, I would just watch it. There's four episodes out now, and it's kind of fun enough that I think you could just spend them. I watched them basically all sequentially on the plane, and I was like, this is pretty fun.
Yeah.
It's great. You know, that's like one of the things about pilot season that I'm sure like we're gonna get to talking to, is like sometimes it's fun to be a little bit behind and be like, I'm not just gonna try one episode and then wait a week and try another and see if I like it. Like, it's nice to binge two or three at a time and you'd be like, okay, I'm on this.
It's the old school, you know, anime, the rule of three, right? Like,
yeah.
It's you want to give it that third episode just to see, you know, where the turn on the bend. But so Gundam G-Quax, I don't know, I just the character design is very different.
Yeah.
But the, just like the background and the city, like the, you know, just the, I don't know, just the vibe, like it just oozes cool, you know,
yeah.
Where like Witch of Mercury wasn't like this. It wasn't, you didn't really see the inner workings of the cities. It was the space station. It was the school.
Yeah.
It was the deep space. It didn't have like the, you know, like the normal life that, you know. But again, like, just they really hit home like how brutal the world is, and like they just decimated the city when they're, you know, in that pile, like, you know, it's children of war, right? Like they're it's child soldiers, and a very common recurring theme in the Gundam universe. So
still never been able to find Gundam Wing, like the dark one.
Yeah. I think that's on Crunchyroll. I think
maybe I need your help, like literally like an idiot handler for me to like, because there's just so many results on Gundam.
Yeah.
Kind of overwhelming to be like, okay, I don't really know where to start here. Dude, remember like, okay, no, this is not related at all. Never mind. I was going to say like, do you remember like I tried to build that Ava build kit and I literally didn't get past step one? Like I didn't assemble a single part. I couldn't even find part one. I was like, I think I just need like an idiot handler to like guide me through this, because...
What
I don't
need
even
to
know.
Do,
we should have like a night of like assembly.
Here's what we do. The G-Quax model kits have not come out yet.
Yeah.
When they do, we go and get some high grade, the low, like just the low versions, the $15 kits.
Sure.
We sit there, we, you know, what was the one you like from, you know, from the series or whatever, and we just hammer those out, get used to it, and then when you're ready, you go back to
your be fine. There. I could
yeah.
do that.
Yeah, yeah. I'm, well,
I make, was, make a mental note, it's a good idea.
Yeah, I was out this weekend and I saw it, like, I just came upon, like, a huge, like, stack.
That's a live stream idea. Sorry, ooh, sorry,
keep here going. We go. But there's just, like, a bunch of, like, Witch from Mercury kits, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like, I could buy all of it. I would love to have one of every mobile suit from this set, from this series. I just loved it so much.
Dog, I didn't buy a single figurine from Japan, and I'm, like, both filled with regret and then also not. Like, we were so
they all come space. Over here anyways, though.
Yeah, there's a couple that, like, the pricing. I found one store where I was like, okay, this feels like the store that, like, maybe locals go to or something.
Okay.
And, like, just the prices were somehow super reasonable. But, like, you know, like, even for a figurine this big, like, the box is this big. Yeah. And, like, space is at such a premium. And I was like, there's just no... Yeah, I don't know. It was a nightmare.
We had gotten...
First world problem.
No, I know. But, you know, it just goes to show, like, the trickery of packaging. Like, we had bought Kryn a one-piece standee for Christmas. A figurine, rather, and big enough box, you know, whatever, yeah. Like, you know, like 6-7 inches tall and about 4 inches wide, and then, you know, it was a lot of packaging, and it was just like a little
that's funny, yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's so weird, like, again, but there was just so much protection around the figurine. I was like, I guess that makes sense, but did you check out Kowloon Generic Romance?
I did, but only the first episode.
Okay. That's okay.
But I think the pilot is definitely, like, leaves enough of an impression that we can kind of talk about it.
Huge impression. I thought it was, for between Mobile Suit and Kowloon are probably, like, my big standouts for the season.
Yeah.
I do have a new, it snuck up on me. I checked a new one out last night, and it blew me away. We'll talk about that in a bit. But I don't know. Again, talking about vibes, like, this Kowloon Generic Romance show is... like, how do I put it? Like, it's so, like, 90s coded, just, like, based on, like, the attire and the Dave, like, with headphones on, listening to this show, the few episodes that I've seen, the soundtrack is phenomenal on this show. It's one of the big standouts for me, in a long time. Really, 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 really good music. But, no, like, it's, like, it in a way, it reminds me of Summertime Rendering in a lot. Like, there's...
You're not off there. Or that,
It feels less sinister.
Like, that Heavenly Delusion show as well.
Yes,
not,
yes,
it's
yes,
not,
yes.
At least so far, I'm one episode in. I was going to say, it's not that far out. But then again, there's a floating thing in the sky.
Yeah.
And by the end of the pilot, we're questioning the nature of their reality. So maybe it is that weird.
It is. There's a bit of a turn at the end of the second episode, which... I don't love.
It also gives me, like, Prisoners. Not Prisoners. Remember that Denis Villeneuve movie with...
Enemy.
Enemy.
Yeah.
And maybe that's reaching. Again, I'm on one episode.
I can see that, because even then, by the end of the second episode, they don't... Like, the mystery is still there, and it's plodding along. But there was, like, a couple jumps of, like, oh, okay, maybe, like... It's not really spoiling anything, but like they kind of like the obvious questions you have at the end of the first episode of like, oh, is this like an amnesia or like memory wipe or like is she an android?
You know,
like
all the clone, what could it
all
be?
This stuff. And like they can, like the show and like the characters, like they're very like openly like, is it a situation like this? And it's like, oh, like okay, so like there is like some cognition and self awareness,
which you never get in these types of stories.
No, you don't. But the interesting thing is too, there is a little bit of. There's some mixed feelings about the show right now based on the source material. Apparently,
oh okay.
Even within the first episode, like breakneck speed, pacing, like really, really, really kind of speeding up events. And then I went into when I saw the second episode, you know, a couple of weeks ago. Same thing. I was like, oh, it's even going even faster.
Oh, really?
So they're because I think they're trying to fit into a 12 episode season, and I guess the consensus is like the manga is like one of the better sci-fi romance mysteries, for that kind of genre. So it is a little disheartening to hear that because I did feel the second episode really went fast. Of like, oh, this is too much too quick.
I was kind of surprised that we already had a reveal at the end of the pilot.
Yes,
like a story reveal, and I was like, oh, like. you know, maybe they're just really trying to set up the main thread.
I thought they were trying to get the hook in. That's what I thought they were doing. And then after watching the second, I was like, oh yeah, this is fast. I think this is just the speed that they're going at.
Also, one thing like that like bears noting, I think, in case anybody goes to watch this, cause just because it caught me off guard, there's like quite a bit, and I'll be careful with my phrasing. There's more like fan service than I anticipated.
Yeah, there was.
And I was just like, what am I? Grant knows I'm not all about this, but like, there must be something to it. And then, to be fair, I was like, okay, there's something to
it. It's everything around that. Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah. It was like, you know,
and also romance is in the title of the, you know what I mean? So like, you know, you're after something.
But, after having,
yeah.
Yeah. After having watched three episodes, there is definitely, you know, like picture three paths, and it kind of feels like, you know, like 1 foot is on each line of the three paths. Like,
sure.
You can feel it really trying to keep it steady in all kind of three genres, like, you know, like the mystery, the romance, and then kind of the, I don't know, just like the surrealness of it.
Sure. You
know, because like there is like a
painting picture feeling to it.
You know, like you can't always trust everything. Like, you know, like there's a shot in, it does really, like there's really, it's a really fun background watch, because like in the second episode, there was like a door. I'm like, why would there be a door that looks like that in this setting? And like, they introduce a character, and then they're like, okay, now do I not trust this character? And it just, you know, there's, yeah, like I said, if you watch the second episode, you'll, by the end, once you reach the end, I think you'll probably be in the same, so a similar situation to me, where like, I don't kind of, where they're setting up the villains and the sinisterism that like was underlying kind of feels like pretty obvious by the end of the second episode.
Okay.
That would have been nice, like in episode 4 or 5, maybe. I'm going to watch it. I think it's beautiful. Just the city itself and the, you know, just the alleyways and the apartment, like it's so funny. Like, you know, the big fan servicey moment of the first episode when she's like painting the apartment.
Yeah.
I was like, when have we ever watched anything where there's just such attention to detail of like doing a whitewash of a, you know, someone's moving and like a new tenant's coming in and preparing the apartment. It just felt very weirdly grounded, with again all the, you know, the fan service stuff kind of like, you know, kind of designed into it. But I don't know, it gave me, like, remember Chainsaw Man when Aki's like prepping his day,
you know? Yeah, that was like a totally being like anime only scene.
Yeah,
it was so fucking awesome. I love
it. But it was like similar vibes to that.
Like, that's on
like
a lot of like ASMR compilations. No, because it was that good of a scene.
Yeah. So I don't know. Calvin generic romance. I'm gonna give it the whole way through. I'm really curious to see where it ends up, what zigzags we have. But
yeah, I think regardless
vibes of alone, I love the vibes.
Regardless of our talk, my intention is to watch the next two episodes at least, mm-hmm. and then see how I feel.
Yeah, number two, the end. I was just like, oh, that's like not a great last 5 minutes, in my opinion. But I did like the third episode, so.
Okay. There might be one more that we've both seen.
Okay.
I did manage to squeeze in the pilot of Lazarus.
I did not. So
tell me about that. That's wild.
I saw the dub and it spooked me out.
The dub?
Yeah, it's dubbed only right now.
Really? Not for me. On Crunchy?
Lazarus is on Crunchyroll?
Oh, no, it's not. Sorry. Yeah, I don't know where I watched it. I don't know where I watched it, but I watched a subbed version, so I don't know.
Damn.
Weird.
I watched On Adult Swim, my only option was dubbed.
Oh, that's a pain,
I was like, oh, this is, like, not the, like, there's like, an opening scene. I got, like, 4 minutes in, and it's, like, the setting up of the world, and I was just like, I cannot even take this very dire situation seriously. It's like, it was, like, a very goofy reading.
So funny how much it changes it, huh?
Yeah, it's huge. Absolutely. I was just like, I can't. I need to find an alternative.
I know this sounds like super obvious, but it's like we have to find a way, not you and I, but like the industry needs to find or severely upskill. And I'm trying to say this like not with the intent of being like overly critical, but like it does seem like we are leaving money on the table with like the quality of translation work that is happening in anime.
Sure.
Like when you like hear or read like the faithful subs from like something like Attack on Titan, and then you watch what like they turn that into in the dub, you're like, what the fuck? Like they're kind of, I don't want to say they're ruining it, but they're really like,
well, it's just, you know, like, I know this is, like, the go-to argument of every sub-warrior out there of, like, you know, you can't feel the, like, the energy's not matching, you know, the emotion's not there. But, like, that is 100% it. Like,
yeah, I don't know.
You know what I mean? Like, I remember out of curiosity one time, what was it? Blanking on it. It was One Piece. I was just curious. Of like, oh, what do they all sound in English? And I was like, this does not, like, yeah. The show itself is funny and silly in its own way, but like it's also like very grounded in its own rules. And I was like, this feels like absolute silliness. Like this does not match even the tone that it already provides. Weird, you know, right? Like just
because there is the argument of like, oh, I've heard Goku and now I can't hear anyone else's Goku. That's fine, sure. But that's more of a preference thing. I'm talking more about like. Like the quality of the translation is just it's literally just like hamstrung. I'm not saying that's the case for Lazarus because I didn't even listen to the dub, but like too often.
To defend our point, its biggest complaint openly is how atrocious the dub is.
Really, that's funny. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. So yeah, there needs to be like a better industry standard or best practice to follow or something. And like I don't want to like be this guy. But, like, it is, like, worth noting, like, the AI tools in this space have come so far in such a short amount of time that, like, maybe look into that.
Yep.
Okay, so I'll just briefly say, did you ever finish Cowboy Bebop?
Oh, yeah.
You did, eh? Yeah.
Loved it. Loved it.
So, like, Grant, like, it's, like, I would say it's a spiritual successor to that.
Oh, yeah.
And, it, like, its pilot feels like a Cowboy Bebop like love letter. Like the pilot is extremely similar to Cowboy Bebop. Maybe not extremely, but like there's a lot.
Similar beats.
Yeah. Now it could go a completely different way than how Cowboy does, but I just mean like the action, the music, the overall direction. It's like more performative and like I'd say like more fancy than Cowboy Bebop's pilot, which is saying something because I think Cowboy Bebop had a really dope pilot.
It is a good pilot.
But anyway, like, I think this is, we got to figure out the Adult Swim thing and where I watched it and whatnot and get you a sub copy because, like, I'm going to be watching this one for sure.
Well, it was, like, one of our most anticipated, like, for years now. Like, this was announced, like, 3-4 years ago.
Yeah, and I will tell you, like, I'm a little bit nervous just because it reminds me of that, just the story to how it eventually finally arrived. Was it Uzumaki?
Oh, yeah.
It's just like it's kind of
like
similar,
the Junji, you know, or like the
Kamui. It's just
that was the other Stileski joint.
Yeah, I was just gonna say it's similar and like highly anticipated, big team, delay. Finally comes out, strong start. Like I was really impressed with this pilot, and like I think there's a couple more out now, and like I really hope that they keep this level of quality because you can't come out and hit a couple dingers. There's nothing worse than that, and then just. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And being like, well, we had a deadline. You know, so I just hope that's not the case because the pilot was promising. And I really want to like this show and have something like this on the docket that, like, is consistently good because that would be really dope. So I hope they maintain
We'll figure it out. I want to see it.
Yeah.
Your turn. Should I just run through a couple pilots?
Yeah.
So the quick ones. Sword of the Demon Hunter. It's so funny, like it kind of has some similar beats to Demon Slayer. It's not one-to-one. It's really cool because it has like an hour-long pilot.
You mentioned
they really try to set up the world. I guess the conceit is there's a priestess who has some association to like a fire goddess, and there's always one, and there's always they always have like a sentinel, like a protector.
Yeah.
Buddy. Falls in love with her. It's all kind of hidden or whatever. Long story short, the village gets destroyed. People are affected in various ways. He becomes tainted with demon blood, and it has now become I don't know if you'll watch it. Like it's kind of a hard sell for you, but like it becomes like a tale of history. His journey. Like he's now seeking revenge for the death of somebody, and because he has this demon blood based on like his last fight that he had, he now lives forever like a demon. And it's like a journey from like Edo period Japan or even further back to like modern day. Like the episode, the pilot ends with like modern day Japan.
And oh, that's like, in the pilot.
all that's in the pot, setting it up, and like it's such a.
Oh, you said yeah, it is like an hour long, right?
Yeah. So
is there more than that out?
Yeah, there's like four or five episodes. I think it was the first show to come out this season, so I think it came out at the end of March, probably the second to last week of March. So it's been chugging along for a little while there, but it's really cool. It's kind of like, again, I bit the bullet and I got High Dive to watch it because it's on there, but it's just different enough from Demon Slayer, even with all like the demon powers, and like it looks really good, like the Sakuga moments like really explode, and then it reminds me a lot of Revenger, not narrative wise and like story beat wise, but like just kind of like
that was a fun one.
It's like sitting at a 7, 7.5 animation wise, and then like when it but like this one when it dials in, it's like, oh whoa, like there's some budget here,
some talent.
So if anyone has a High Dive subscription, or if you know however you watch it, Sword of the Demon Hunter is definitely worth checking out. To Be Hero X. It is a spiritual successor to a show called To Be Hero from a few years ago.
Okay.
This is a Japanese Chinese cross joint there coming together. It's like the animation of Arcane. Okay, so it's this whole world where superheroes are essentially like gifted their powers like celestially by like the greater consensus. Like if there's a lot of like hope and trust in a person, they get powers, and it works the opposite for villains. You know, the more fear there is, and the more fearful they become, the stronger they become.
And just like this is like determined by the divine.
Just like the balance of the universe, I guess. Like it's cool. Just how. It's weird. It feels very like it feels like The Boys. You know how like there's all this like there's like media coverage and there's all about like
the world is kind of shaped around. It's part of the culture.
Yeah, exactly. And like that's just how they get stronger and stronger because there's so much focus on them. There's rankings.
Sure.
And, anyway, so this guy is a like a low level marketing. Part of the marketing team for one, like the number one hero, and his boss hates his pitch and gets like fired, and it kind of looks like the guy's gonna kill himself. And then the number one hero just shows up out of nowhere and does kill himself. And so this guy looks just enough like this number one hero where the media team behind this hero just like dye his hair, put him in like in the costume, and like they pitch him and like push him out to the world, and like people don't know the difference, so like he kind of gets the powers.
Oh,
it's very strange.
Peculiar story.
It's kind of really cool.
Does this all happen in the pilot?
This all happens in the pilot. And so there's this cool thing where I think the Chinese studio does almost all the like the Arcane style animation, and then whenever there's like they're hitting backstory or they're introducing a new character, it cuts to a different every episode has been various Japanese studios. They're coming with a different art style to tell those backstories. So there's like it's like a really really crazy
collaborative effort.
It feels like a multimedia project. Like it's the music changes and the animation styles and kind of the beats and the speed of the episode. Dave, it's worth checking the pilot. Like
sounds artsy. It's on Crunchyroll.
It's on Crunchyroll. I think you'll really like it. So that's To Be Hero X.
Regular length?
Yeah, 30-minute. Yeah. Witch Watch, just a really fun Shonen Jump rom-com.
Witch Watch.
About a witch girl comes back from her training. She needs a familiar. So coincidentally, the dude that she grew up with is like a demon, like an oni. So she chooses him as a familiar. The contract's been signed. He's kind of like he has to like kind of protect her kind of thing.
Okay.
It's just like it's like a gag manga brought to life. It's just really fun, really really silly.
Okay.
So and then I guess the one of the other things too, My Hero Academia Vigilantes came out.
Oh yes, this I've heard about.
So fun little update. I don't know if I told you this, but Corinne has read all of My Hero Academia.
How dare she, dude?
She ripped through it, too. I talked.
You and I have been at this for years, and she's got spoilers in her hands now.
I told her, we were in the car one day, she's like, don't worry, I won't spoil. I'm like, you better not, because I've been, like, in the trenches for 10 years now.
Yeah, and we don't even like it, and we haven't been spoiled, so she better not.
Like, I talked to her on the Friday. So she's like, yeah, I'm at, like, chapter, like, I don't know, like fucking like
3,011 or whatever.
Well, no, it was like, and like in 3 days she had ripped through like 150, 200 chapters. And I was like, yeah. Did you enjoy that? She's like, I loved every second of it. Like, all right, you right. But I gotta say, Dave, I love this vigilante show. It takes. It's like, you know, it's so funny because like you and I are so quick to like, you know, give them props for like they introduce a new character, they feel fully fleshed and all this stuff. Yep. They strip all that out. There's a couple like, hey, oh, you remember that guy? We know this guy.
Yeah.
It's so street level and so small so far. It feels like I can get to know these characters more and I'm not juggling like, you know, like planet, you know, like extinction level events.
Right.
In my show, like it's just like there's a drug on the streets and
is
like.
Is that a manga written by the same guy?
No, it was commissioned out, but it was given by his approval. Someone else wrote it, and you can tell because the writing is not the same.
Well, I was about to say, maybe a fresh set of eyes on this. Just take the IP and...
And I like the anime. So the animation, it really kind of... In the first few episodes, more so, and it's kind of like petered out a little bit, but it's still around. They really hit home like the comic book feel. Like it kind of feels like Spider-Man versus like a Superman story, which is like my hero being Superman, and this kind of feels more like street level, you know, kind of. But I really like the main character. It's just like a silly quirk that like finds the beauty in it, and like his version of All Might is like hilarious. Like,
is All Might's present in that?
No. But like, well, he like the main character. Like, he's just an All Might stan, but, like, essentially the guy that takes him under his wing and, like, tries to teach him to be or the guy that turns him into a vigilante is this guy. I don't think he has a quirk. He just, like, literally calls himself Knuckle Duster, and he just beats the shit out of people on the street. Like, he's like, you know, great value Batman. Has none of the smarts. He's just, like, he's just attacking people. He's like, yeah, like, if they fight back.
Or just commit assault. No, my talent is committing assault.
It's surprisingly like really funny and kind of like flies in the face of the silliness of My Hero. Like it's so funny that it's
a little self-aware maybe.
It kind of just goes to show like the mangaka of My Hero like to approve all this kind of it's I don't know I think it kind of shows
degree of
like,
self-awareness.
I think so. So I as a My Hero lover hater, I think you would enjoy Vigilante for 100% what it is and what it's not trying to be anything else. It is. Street level stuff, and it's very grounded. Well, in the My Hero sense,
perhaps I'll give it a spin. When is the final season scheduled? Is that this year?
October.
Yeah. Okay, so fall.
Not bad. It's soon, imminently. And finally, I'll give you some time to breathe or to speak.
Yeah.
This completely, I knew it was coming, and I saw the autoplay on Netflix kind of threw it at me last night, and I was kind of like, I beg your pardon. I jumped into it. It's called Yaiba Samurai Legend. This is a remake of an anime from the 80s. It's the same guy. It's made, or the original property is made by the Detective Conan. You know, are you familiar with that?
No.
Again,
I can picture the poster in my head.
Yeah, one of the biggest, like, you know, anime manga series of all time. Still ongoing. It's up there with One Piece and, like, Doraemon, One Piece, and Detective Conan, like, on the same level. So, Wit Studio made this. And it feels like, I don't know who it is, director-wise, but it feels like it's the Attack on Titan team making it.
Yeah.
Because the animation is, it's a silly little, you know, jungle kid. Him and his dad have been out in the jungle for probably a whole kid's life. By a silly circumstance, they end up in the city. Kid has to like, it's like watching a Tarzan story, like George of the Jungle. It's like George of the Jungle, but samurais. And kid's a kendo master, and his goal is to fight stronger people, and he just wants to get better. It's just like a silly, fun action shonen. But the animation from the second the episode starts to the ends is at a 15 the entire time. Jeez. It is dialed. It's crazy, crazy dialed in, Dave. Like, this is like
Yaiba,
this is,
Samurai Legend.
Yeah,
on Netflix.
Yeah. Yeah.
Where? So let me ask you this.
Yeah.
Of the ones I haven't seen, I've got Sword of the Demon Hunter, To Be Hero X, Witch Watch, MHA, Vigilante, Yaiba, Samurai Legend. Like, what's your number one draft pick out of those? For you, not for me.
I enjoy Yaiba, like, genuinely from front to back was, like, I'm watching every week. To Be Hero X, I think, just based on that pilot alone, I think you would love that. So I think...
One of those. Give it a spin.
I would love for you, like, just watch the pilot of To Be Hero.
Yeah.
Just see what I'm talking about. The creativity and the uniqueness of it. But I think Yaiba is just, like, that's right up our alley.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. It's Yaiba's now my Saturday morning. Hey, let's watch some action, silly action anime.
Very interesting.
But, yeah. I was just kind of blown away. I had no expectations.
I haven't even heard of that.
I knew it was coming, and I had seen it, like, the you know, the online, like, just the, you know, new key art and this and that. I didn't think anything of it, and all it took was a Netflix autoplay to be like, boom. This is for you, bud. This is marketed to you. I really, really enjoyed it.
Interesting.
It feels like taken right out of the 80s, just with modern animation. But I think either one. Honestly, either one. For two different, very different reasons, but I think you'll enjoy both.
All right. Thanks for all your hard work in the trenches.
Yeah, man. Still got more to do, but next week I'll have the rest of it rounded up.
Yeah, I'll let you know what I end up checking out. Okay, well, you mentioned something that made me think of something about how Corinne kind of blitzed through My Hero, and I have also blitzed through some manga.
Yeah, dude.
On the trip, and, you know, subway stations and flights and all that, I found, like, my go-to way to kill time was to read the Jujutsu Kaisen manga.
You finished?
And then I finished it, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How do you feel about that?
So I thought a lot about how I will answer this. And, you know, I could have, like, a very, like, thorough, in-depth answer that's, like, technically spoiler-free. But I also think that, like, the way I talk about it...
Yeah.
In itself is kind of a spoiler. You know what I mean? If I talk about, oh, it is or it isn't an absolute classic the way... X show is or Y show is, you know what I mean? I don't really
Leanna,
wanna...
I already heard from Leanna. She was like, that was like a hot, like, just the all the hot air was let out right at the last second.
Yeah,
and she was very underwhelmed and a little bummed by how it went off.
Yeah, so, but Leanna's not us, right? Like, for all we know, you know we share her taste in a lot of ways. But, like, you know, maybe, who knows, maybe I wholeheartedly disagreed, but that's neither here nor there. What I will say is I did have a lot of this spoiled. Not a lot, but, like, some pretty big chunks spoiled.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, not because I was looking for it. Just, like, you know, for whatever reason. I caught a few strays. I have some takeaways. I'll say that it was fun to blitz. It was fun to read. But also, like, I don't know if I've ever read that much manga in my life. So, like, that there was some novelty in the experience.
New and exciting. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, because I think you bought an iPad specifically... for this, and, like, it's great to read on a fucking iPad. It's a very fun experience. So, like, I enjoyed it. I was shocked at how much more there is still to go and how long certain arcs are.
Okay.
I think the complaint that you could get even just watching the existing anime, and I think nobody will be surprised by this take, is that it can get a little convoluted at times. Like, the power system can get a little convoluted.
The biggest complaint, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that, if you have that complaint, that will continue. I will also note, the anime has done a pretty good job. Like, when you're reading it, it's a little long-winded. And they find ways with the use of the narrator and stuff like that kind of explain what's going on.
Okay.
But there are absolutely moments where it, like, gets away from itself and it's like, what are we doing here? I think that's probably what, like, Leanna's referring to. Like, and there are certain parts that kind of drag. There are plenty of twists and big plot reveals and developments left in the story, which is, like, exciting, that I'm excited to see on screen.
Yeah, yeah.
But I will not be surprised. I'm really curious on how much of the arc they'll adapt, if it's the whole thing, how many episodes it is. And I wouldn't be surprised at all if they do the Demon Slayer thing and finish up with a movie or two or something like that.
Okay.
It made me, reading through it, I was like, this is so much content, but it's kind of all part of one or two arcs. Like, how do you do this? I don't know. I won't give a, like, I'm super satisfied or I'm not, because, like, I feel like that's, like, you know what I mean?
I don't want to. Okay, here's what I will ask you. The next arc.
Yeah.
Are you...
Which is called, I think they've called...
The Culling. The Culling
game or season or whatever.
Are you hyped for that now? Or
yeah.
Now having read it, like, what is immediately next to come? Are you excited for that?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I think it'll be good TV. I think we'll have fun. Assuming, you know, and this is a bold assumption.
Yeah.
There were a lot of questions coming out of season one into season two. Like, can you do that again?
Yeah.
And then to be fair, they did. Like, they really delivered season two.
It's weird.
Animation quality.
It's so funny looking back on seasons one and two. Like, it is the same show, but it's actually crazy how differently they did it.
Yeah.
You know, and not just in, like, animation styles, but, like, kind of, like, the presentation.
Yeah.
Again, that's the you know, essentially, like, you know, the Shibuya incident was, like, essentially a bottle.
Yeah.
You know, right? Like, you know, literally, like, they were kind of trapped in there. So it's a little easier to kind of, the time flow is different than season one, where it was, you know, over significant periods. But, yeah, I don't know.
But,
such a different show with being the same, you know?
You know, we haven't seen a trailer. I don't think there's a release date. Like, part of the reason with the big, you know, delay between S1 and 2 was the movie and then the two arcs and, like, changing of all the character models. And it was like, fuck, are they going to do that again for season 3? I hope not.
I can't imagine.
So anyway, I hope it's like a similar level of team and quality of team and all that. And if it is, which is a bold assumption, I think we're in store for like really, really fun TV. And
sweet.
You and I will enjoy it. And it'll be a great thing to watch week to week. And also, like, you know me, like, my memory is for shit. I bet I'll forget a lot of these things that are to come. But I think it'll make... it has potential to be... I don't want to say as good as a Shibuya incident arc, but like there's like lots of really fun shit coming.
Cool.
And yeah, some crazy, crazy twists and all that. And I'm looking forward to talking about them in depth on the pod.
Fucking A.
Okay. How about this for a segue? Speaking of crazy twists, do you want to talk about The Last of Us season 2?
Let's.
So are you caught up?
I didn't watch last night's, but that doesn't matter.
It's right. and you are, because you played the games as well. But, so, because, yeah, the main twist, here's your big spoiler warning, it's already a week old, is
from a game that is almost 5 years old,
yeah.
5, 6 years old.
Yeah. Last of Us Season 2, Episode 2, there's your spoiler warning. So we watched that in Japan, and then we watched Episode 3 last night. But yeah, the spoiler, last warning, is they kill my boy. They ice Joel. I tried
being there when the game came up.
Yeah, dude, I had no spoilers going. I had no idea.
Good for you. They did a really good job keeping this shit. I think kudos to the internet. They are not always on their best behavior. They're especially not right now with the season. But
yes,
the keeping shit to themselves.
Yeah, not bad.
Credit where credit is due.
Yeah, credit where... Yeah. So that episode, episode 2, reminded me, and I know I'm not alone in making this comparison, but it is because it's kind of recent, but it reminded me of Hard Home, the episode Hard Home from Game of Thrones, where the Night's Watch and the Wildlings are ambushed, and you kind of... You get this whole sequence of a city, a small, unprepared city being under attack.
And, not in the game. Didn't love that personally.
Say that again.
That's not from the game. Oh, that was a TV creation. That was probably this is probably a good time to jump in. Like I think I'm good on this.
Meaning,
I'm just like there's other stuff that I'm watching right now.
Oh really? So you're
I played
like bowing out.
When I have time, I'll catch up on the episodes. But I'm not making like I'm not scheduling the you know an appointment to watch this on Sunday nights.
Wild.
I just, like, you know, it's funny because I saw Bronson this weekend and, you know, he did play the games and he's very excited for the show and we were talking about it and I told him, he gave the same reaction. He's like, what do you mean? And I'm like,
yeah,
there's a lot of, like, when the second game came out, there was a lot of controversy.
Yes, I remember that.
A lot of people were like, it was like a pretty 50-50 split. I was on the side, I thoroughly enjoyed the second game and I thought, It did an excellent job of just not redoing the first game, and it really played on our sensibilities of the genre itself and like kind of the story beats, and it really tried to do its own thing, and it did a phenomenal job. And this is probably where my gripe is. It's in relation to Abby. In the game, there is a lot more cryptic of like who is this girl? We don't know. that she has any relation to the Doctor. Like,
oh, they let that out of the bag early?
Fuck, dude, they blew their load so fucking hard. And I understand it's the machinations of TV and, like... Yeah. Like
different storytelling medium.
I get that, but it's, like, it, for me, the scene of, like, you know, like, I'm not saying, like, when she killed Joe, I was like, yeah, they did it right, like, the right way. Like, it was brutal in the game, and it wasn't brutal on the TV. Like, kudos for them for doing that. But they took all the agency of, like, give me a chance to fucking hate this character and prove to me why you're rooting for... Because in the game, I, again, it's my opinion, and a lot of people argue that point. I was won over by Abby as a character well after, in my mind, I knew she killed Joel.
Yeah.
And I knew what she did, but it's so funny because, like, I think of Gabby from Attack on Titan in a similar way. Heinous acts in the beginning, there's nothing we can do, but by the end, she's just as much as a survivor of this world and the situation, and
she has
been tortured and suffering like everyone else. And they do that with, like, I guess Abby would be the original version of that in my mind, but I don't know. I think they took all her agency away. I think the performances are great. Everyone is fucking bitching and moaning about poor Bella Ramsey.
Yeah.
Like, just, I don't understand. Like, just, it's the internet, there's hate, I get that. She's doing a fine job.
Yeah.
Caitlin Deaver is doing a fine job. Like, I get it, they couldn't, like, turn Caitlin Deaver into a fucking, like, 200-pound gorilla there.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Abby was in the game, but, like, who cares? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna watch it. I feel like the biggest misstep they did is revealing who Abby really is.
Right.
Okay. They really, 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 like, should have given us the chance. Also, like...
Perhaps there's a reason for it. Maybe...
There could be. Yeah, I'm going to watch it. Let's be honest. I'm going to watch it. But I was so... They had killed Joel, and I'm like, they pulled it off. Like, the whole set piece with, like, him saving her and her trying to get it, like, the chain link fence, dude, straight out of the game.
I know.
Just as anxious the other night when I watched
it. That was an amazing sequence.
Amazing how they did. Like, they really set it in fear, and then they just, like, poof. It's like, you killed my dad. And it's like, I'm not trying to belittle the situation.
No.
But, like, I just, you know, like, and the whole dynamic of the group is not right. I think they're really underselling that group's dynamic, and there's, I don't know, it's just, there's a lot of fun, interesting things to see, and I also don't like that they're splitting this into two seasons.
Oh, they are?
Yeah.
Matt? So how many of the episodes will we get?
I think it's going to be the same, it's going to be a full season, but...
Oh, but they're going to do a season three, which finishes up the story of game two?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Maybe I didn't forgot. Okay, well, I will just say...
Sorry, I went long-winded there.
No.
Yeah.
one note as a non-gamer is, which I'm sure you felt and everybody felt, or maybe it didn't really land for you because of, like, the deviation they took, but I will note, like, I remember just watching this with Sam, and we're both just sitting there, and, like, you realize just the way it goes that Joel's probably not going to get out of this one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a pretty helpless feeling. I got to say, you're like, no, they're not. No, this isn't going to happen. Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was a very effective and very sad piece of storytelling. Because I don't know how it was in the game, but, like, in the pilot of this season, like, this Abby character lays out her plan, like, we're gonna fucking kill this guy. And, okay, well, he's got an enemy, that's not new.
Hmm.
But when he finds himself kind of at their mercy, and you're like, no, but he's gonna figure it out, right? And then he doesn't, you're like, oh, like, it was very sad. It was very well done.
In the game, it was a touch colder because, like...
But you didn't know, like, about her motive.
No, well, you didn't know her motive, and then... Also, like, there wasn't agency... there was agency escaping the horde of the infected, but, like, there was no, like, Jackson was not, like, you know, under, I think Joel was worried, and, like, there was, like, him, like, looking around, like, oh, like, can I see, you know, I should be able to see the city, like, she opened, like, before, no words are spoken in the game, like, he turns around, and she blows his knee out with a shotgun.
Oh, yeah.
And it's just, like, whoa, like, what just happened? Like, it was, like, truly, like, there was no, like, kind of preamping, like,
right.
You know, like, Joel this, kill Joel that. Like,
right.
You know what I mean? So, like, And but she doesn't reveal herself. Like, she literally just pounds the life out of him, and with giving no real reason. And it's just her letting it out.
Yeah.
And you're like, I'll never forgive this character.
Of
like,
course.
Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm gonna. I can't wait to get back in control of Ellie and go murder this girl. You know, right, like, right. And I don't know. I just the it's again it's the machinations of TV, and they got to keep viewers, and they got to do it the way they
it's
do.
It's a different medium, right?
It just,
it's like, remind yourself, you know, like, it's like why, the Nick Offerman episode didn't happen in the game. It's one of the best pieces of television.
Exactly. Like, I'm not faulting the show. I do not think it's bad. It just, yeah, I just, I wish they rose to the challenge of like keeping people in suspense of who is this? And like, you know, like again, like the comments of the nurses of like, yeah, you just, like, killed him, you know, cold blood, and then you walked away kind of thing. Like, that, you know, it's just, there's, like, a lot of, like, little pieces that are kind of being left out, and the full, anyways. It's neither here nor there. So, you know, we're talking about, like, yeah, I'm obviously going to watch it, but
I like, will say,
I'm
just,
it's, you know, I'm torn. I am torn.
Yeah, no, that's fair. Because you're not alone in that. You know, you mentioned the Bella Ramsey stuff, and just, like, how critical the internet is being. I will say, you know, I generally try and stay away from this shit anyway, but I will say she has a great episode 3.
Yeah.
I, you know, because we joked, Sam and I were like, why do we even watch this fucking show anymore at the end of the episode 2? Just because Pedro was so great, you know. But yeah. But anyway, we, you know, she, we, like, season, or I'm sorry, episode 3 is really, really good. I was very impressed with it. And I was, you know, I've been very curious about how they cover quite a bit of ground in episode 3. And also just Bella Ramsey has some very good character moments, and there's some really beautiful shots in it.
It's funny, the only thing I've seen from the episode that, like, I know I would probably not like, is it true in the third episode that Tommy's just like, yeah, I'm gonna hang out here, like, I'm not,
not really.
Okay.
I would say that's definitely an oversimplification.
Okay, cause that's what I'm seeing a lot, because, like, in the game it's like, I'm about to go stand on business, like, immediately, like, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, no, everyone's like, where's Tommy? Oh, he went. Like,
oh, okay, well then that's different.
Yeah.
That's different than what happens. But I won't, I'll let you see it.
Okay.
And come to your own conclusion.
But damn.
Yeah, okay.
It did hit though? Were you guys like just like when blown away? Yeah.
Episode 2?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Like that's cool. No, but honestly, the
death, it is cool for other people to see that now. Like, it was like in the moment, like, we were just kinda like, what is happening right now?
Yeah, that's what I'll tell, like, clearly it sounds like, obviously, the way you described it, you know, she didn't monologue before killing him and all that. Yeah. And I get your point of view on, like, hey, like, they kind of let the air out of the balloon. But what I will tell you is, like, in the moment, you see what they're doing. Like, yeah, they're trying to humanize her, but you don't care because you're so upset and scared about what's about to happen. Mm-hmm. So that when, you know, you're like, yeah, okay, fine, she had just cause, but she just killed the main fucking character.
Yeah.
So, like, you're still just filled with vitriol and, like, yeah, fine, she'll be in the show, but, like, we gotta kill this bitch, right? Like, that's that's the current sentiment for sure. So I'm curious to see how they handle it, but yeah, we, you know, it was one of those, it was I don't want to say Red Wedding-esque, but it was,
well,
it
by was surprise close. In comparison it's probably similar.
A title character was killed brutally by a character that was seeking out revenge to kill the title character. Like, that never happens, and it was somehow not fucking spoiled. Like, that's pretty crazy. So yeah, this was a big one.
On positive things, I gotta say my favorite thing so far, also the stuff with, like, Eugene, Joel killing Eugene, that's a machination of the show.
Yeah,
that's not a game thing. I really don't love what they're doing. I don't get what Catherine O'Hara is doing right now. That's a new thing I don't love. But in the first episode, or the pilot, season 2 opener, the whole scene of the dance,
yes,
is shot for shot from the game.
I saw some side by sides. Pretty cool.
Dave, not even like entire dialogue, like, it pulled, like, it's like they just reenacted that scene from the game, like, just shots. That was really cool to see.
They put because the girl who plays Ellie sings the song for the
thing. In the closing of episode 2. Yeah,
that's pretty neat too.
Yeah, that was in the game too. Like,
yeah,
those are,
no,
yeah.
No, I know, pretty neat. But it's cool, man. I know they're deviating here and there, but I, you know, instead of getting a complete, quote, reimagination, we're getting a pretty close adaptation, and it's just funny, because, you know, they're announcing you know, there have been some announcements for the Harry Potter HBO casting, and like, you know, it's also, but it's, everyone's excited, yay, 10 years of Harry Potter again, like, that's gonna be fun. But it's also like, the showrunner has also gone on record being like, I'm not really interested in a page by page ad, but like, I want to do my own thing. And everyone's like, wait, what? Like, your HBO is giving you 10 years and you're gonna be like, oh, let's just fucking, I don't know, it's like, it's kind of, it sounds like a bit of a nightmare.
Yeah,
if it could be half as loyal as Last of Us has been, like, I think people would be pretty freaking excited. So I don't know.
Yeah,
we're gonna have to see how it goes. Did you ever watch Daredevil Born Again? I wrap that up. I'll just make a note.
I heard it was a great finale. I was talking to Bronson about it. He loved it. He thought it was capped off great.
They split that into two seasons as well. So there's nine episodes. They're going to do another nine, I think, in this around this time next year. Anyway, if you're a Daredevil fan, I don't think I realized how much I missed and enjoyed the Netflix series, because we were watching it, and I was like, oh, right, like all the hallway fights and the stuff with Kingpin. And yeah, I think above everything else, the Daredevil series on Netflix and on Disney Plus has really just been like an exercise in like, Charlie Cox is the fucking man.
He is the man.
That guy, it's a it's funny how it shakes out sometimes, but like, easily could have had his own movie, easily could have carried that character inside the MCU with everybody, had the timing worked a little bit better. But this is good enough.
Speaking of which, you see the reviews for Thunderbolts came out today?
Yeah, it's looking pretty... I mean, so far, you know, it's... I don't know if they're early reviews or what, but it seems pretty positive.
Well, it's like Variety and all that, like the trades. Yeah, it seems like a good... I think it feels like it's a stepping stone they needed. But do you... Okay, so I am trying to loop this back into Daredevil. Do you feel like the way it ended was like an even-keeled stone for them to kind of, you know, keep this... the TV, like, or series up? Or, like, is it kind of...
It feels like they've told 50% of a story.
Okay.
Well, which is not a good thing or a bad thing, but it feels like you're exactly like halfway through with the story that they want to tell. You know, like, I don't know, like, you've seen, like, posters and stuff, like, you know, like, roughly who the villain is and stuff.
Right? Oh, I know Kingpin's in it.
But... Yeah, so the one critique I have is it's a bit push and pull, because I think... with the Kingpin stuff, they're doing something new-ish and topical-ish that is, like, very much kind of politically relevant today, and it's interesting to see them take a swing at that, and it's definitely better than when they did that lazy shit in, like, The Falcon and the Winter Soldier, for example. Okay. Like, they have really made a better account of themselves from a storytelling perspective, like, through Matt Murdock's point of view and Kingpin's, but it's very, we'll call it, like, politically topical. But it's like way better than I thought it would be for being on Disney. There are absolutely moments that are a little cheesy. Don't get me wrong. But like,
is it like Matt Murdock or is it Daredevil? Because I saw there's like a lot of conflicting of like, oh, like we wanted a Daredevil show, we got like Courtroom of the Week stuff.
I'm happy with the balance.
Okay.
Especially keeping in mind there's another 9 episodes coming. But all of that said, so, like, I enjoy that part, but I will say, like, we've spent a lot of time now with Kingpin. Like, I think there's probably a lot of material in the comics on, like, who else maybe could have been involved. Like, they are returning to the well a lot. Like, just in terms of, like, they're really banking on your history.
They're in stabilized mode. Like, they're not, they don't want to play around with what they don't need to right now. Yeah.
So some part of it feels like they're a little risk averse, which is fine to your point about being in stabilization mode. So anyway, I enjoyed it. It was fun to like watch a Marvel thing and actually like it.
Well, I'm wrapping up some live action stuff there shortly. So I think maybe if I have some space, once I get through all the pilots and I figure out what I want to watch, maybe I'll jump into that. But
Anything else from you? I got a couple pieces of news, but gossip mostly.
I just want to talk The Pit. For a couple minutes.
Oh yeah, so this is the HBO medical
drama. Yeah, Max or whatever it is. Yeah. It doesn't say. I don't even know if it's like HBO proper.
I don't know.
But nothing much other to say. Like, you know, it's so funny. My only association to medical dramas is in high school I had mono, and I was off for like 2.5 weeks and like physically ill, and the like literally what was in the DVD player was season 1. Disc 1 of Grey's Anatomy.
Right.
And I remember getting to the end of the disc and, like, you know, kind of, like, rapping on the wall and, like, my mom coming down and I'm like, put in disc two. Like, and I watched, and she had, like, the first, at that time, the first five seasons on DVD.
That's so nostalgic, those foldable DVD collections.
Yeah.
We had the Friends ones.
Yeah, oh, sure. Yeah, same idea. Yeah. And I remember watching that and, like, never touched it again. Yep. But, like, it was, so this is not the same thing. Like, this is very... They're taking it seriously. It's, you know, post-COVID and
sure.
Like no soundtrack. It's not like a drama. Like it's a drama, but it's not like a romantic. It's not like a soap opera.
Sure.
You know, like there's stuff that comes up and like it just feels very natural and inherent.
Okay.
To the real world, the main dude Noah Wiley, just the most handsome man on TV. Like, I just can't take my eyes off him. Like, look at this hot piece of ass. Every time he comes on screen, he's so good. But he was on ER, and, like, yeah. You know, like, this, which is, like, kind of... there's, like, a lot of court stuff going, like, suing going on right now with this show.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah, so...
There's controversy about what?
So, the Crichton... So, Michael Crichton, the author of Jurassic Park and all that, he created ER. He wrote... That was the first, like, four TV thing he wrote.
I did not know that. That's a great piece of trivia.
It's under their IP umbrella, and so the estate and his wife, he's since passed, but his wife is trying to say that, oh, this started as like an ER sequel of sorts,
yeah,
and you know that HBO or Warner's is like, no, it has nothing to do with it, and she's like, it's like a he said she said of like, you know, oh, you just changed the name. Changed to a different city, and like, you know, and her saying, because Noah Wiley, the main character, he was like a big staple on the original ER. So they're like, she's like, oh yeah, like you got ER people on your show. Like it's clearly like a spiritual thing. Right. Essentially, the estate is trying to say like all medical dramas are like RIP and like everyone knows this money kind of thing. Right. It just seems like greedy lawyers to me, but
estate. Lawsuits are always so fucking filthy.
I know.
So it's just so gross.
In reading it, it feels very gross. But it's a I'm almost done.
Especially in the creative field, like what are people?
I know.
Reminds me of like the Ed Sheeran lawsuits. Like you can't copyright a fucking chord sequence. Anyway, sorry.
Oh. What was
you
that?
You know that?
No.
It was. Do you remember the what was it? Was it Marvin Gaye estate? Is he dead?
I think so. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they sued Pharrell and for that, the Blurred Lines, Robin Thicke, Pharrell Williams.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That song made millions, and they lost in court for having a similar chord and melodic sequence to a Marvin Gaye song. And they lost all of the money that the song made went to the estate.
Oh, shit.
And then the same lawyer who won that then went after Ed Sheeran. And the Ed Sheeran side annihilated them in court.
Really?
Yeah, and it was like, okay, so you're saying my song, there's a great little Howard Stern clip on it that I'll share with you about, like, Ed Sheeran, like, took the stand, apparently, this isn't on tape, but he showed on Stern what he did. He's like, okay, so here's a song that your client or whatever made, right? And it's bum ba dum bum 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 bum, and here's my song, and it's bum ba dum bum 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 bum, right? And now he goes, now here's 30 other top one songs that use the same chord sequence, right?
Yeah.
With just a slight variation.
Sure.
So should we go after all 30 of those? And he basically just like taught like very basic music theory 101 of like,
yeah,
you can't copyright notes. Like that's sure. not how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
And anyway, it just made me think of...
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. And it like he explains it, you know, he's quite well. He's obviously well suited for it.
Yeah, yeah.
But anyway, but it reminds me of like, oh, we made a medical drama once, and therefore,
yes, that's it's exactly what it is. It's like, why aren't you going after Grey's Anatomy? Why aren't you going after every Chicago Hope or like all these shows? Like, you know, it's just
in the
art Resident.
Field,
like,
it's so gross.
Yeah, I know. It's just. But it sounds like this isn't It's the Crichton Estate's not first rodeo with this kind of thing.
Sure.
So, but to say the pit, the whole season, it's 15 episodes, and it takes place over a 15-hour shift.
Would you believe that I was pretty sure this was about Formula One for the first month that it was out?
You see the trailers for that? That looks sick.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know. Just an enthralling show.
How far in are you?
12 episodes. I got three left. Yeah. It's like, I was like, you can't watch this around me. Like, I'm going to have awful dreams tonight. Like, really, you know,
she's not in on it.
No, not her speed.
Would you say, is it like rated R, gore?
Yeah. Oh, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
All right. We're going to put a drill in this dude's head to let out air. And it's like, yeah, it's pretty bad. What, dude, you watch The Substance, you'll be fine.
Yeah, but...
No, I know. I'm just really enjoying it. It's a great cast. I found out Bryan Cranston's daughter is one of the main characters.
Really?
Never could have guessed it was a relation, but it is.
Interesting.
And just really, really, really well-made show. And they really kind of... I don't know. It's just like there's so many. It's crazy how many subplots and like they fit into a show. But I guess that is like a hospital experience. Like, you know, like
there's all a lot this going on.
Well, because it's an emergency room, right? Like it's right. They're you know the busiest one in the. It takes place in Pittsburgh. It's why the show's called The Pit.
Okay.
And it's like the you know the de facto name the staff call the. It's like it's mentioned once. It's not like it's like commonly referred to. Like it's not like overused like the name of the show or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no, just like, you know, they really hit home, like, you know, there's a scenario with this one mom is worried about, she like fakes getting sick and gets, you know, cause her son has to bring her in cause she's been throwing up and she's worried that like, he's going to harm somebody. Cause you know, she thinks she found a kill list in his room and all that. And they really kind of wrestle with the fact of like, do we just like ruin this kid's life? And like, just, you know, like. Just yeah. Send that with no, you know, but like the lines of like, well, think about the women on the list and like, you know, and the, how their lives could be affected by if we don't act on this. And there's just like a lot of like, there's just like a lot of morality in the show. Like they really toe the line of like nothing in this world is black or white. And just the types of all sorts of people that you know, again, like the emergency room is for everybody, right? Like,
right.
You
find all walks of life.
Yeah. And I think they really hit that home with this show. And it's like an action movie. Like it's so well done. And, you know, like, it's, you know, like I'm sure like you call it like a marketing thing, but literally countless people in the medical fields have been interviewed about this. And they're like, it's spooky about how accurate it is. Like they do not pull punches. This is not like,
reminds me of like how people talked about The Bear when it first came out.
Yeah, very similar. So it's visceral. You know, yeah, very visceral. But it's a really good show. If you like,
sounds like it. I mean, it's been getting hype, so it's glad to hear that you feel it's.
Yeah, and I just like the whole conceit. Like it's like 24. Like every episode is 1 hour of the shift. You know,
real time storytelling is pretty cool.
That's awesome. It's really good.
Interesting.
But you said you got some news. Let's go.
I mean nothing really crazy. Like a one piece of gossip, and also just a, like. It sounds like we should see this fucking Sinners movie, huh?
I did see that.
You did see that?
Leanne and I went on a date night, opening night. I wanted this movie to succeed, and I'm glad I'm a part of the movement to make it a thing. It's phenomenal. It's really good.
Yeah. So, Ryan Coogler, Michael B. Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Haley Steinfeld.
Who?
Haley Steinfeld.
Yes.
Delroy Lindo in a crushing performance.
Who?
Delroy Lindo.
Oh, yeah. The one thing I was going to bring up about this, just that the industry side, I'm going to try and see this, by the way, sooner rather than later in theaters. But I thought, have you heard about the Ryan Coogler deal he caught with the studio about it?
Mm-hmm. The 25-year ownership. Yeah.
Very interesting. So he gets the IP back after 25 years of the studio owning it, which apparently Tarantino also got for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
There's a lot of... Yeah, the comparisons and this and that. Like, the thing I didn't understand was, like, the hit piece that all the trades, like, Variety and all that, like, put out on the movie. And it's why does anyone want this not to succeed? I don't get that. Like, it's, you know, I had seen it.
I think I haven't seen the movie yet, so.
Yeah, okay.
What I've heard people that I trust talk about, I'm mostly talking about the guys in The Big Picture and stuff, or whatever the deal is like, and what Reddit, of course, seems to think, the hive mind. is like maybe these publications and studios are a little bit threatened by this deal and stoked
to be
about
fair
it.
The studios own the like Variety and Hollywood Report. That's owned by some of the studios, so like I can see, you know, it's not hard to make those red yarn lines.
And it's also from my basic understanding of the plot, like it's also kind of poetic that Coogler would get the IP back. And there's kind of a direct relation to the story he tells, as far as I understand it, but I'll see. It doesn't sound that crazy to me, but yeah, the hit pieces are fucking weird. That's
so weird.
Every now and then the industry rears its ugly head, huh? Like, I don't know.
It was so funny. I was reading an article on, It wasn't one of the big ones. It was like not Engadget. That's tech. Anyway, I'll send you the link later. I have it saved somewhere.
Hollywood Reporter.
No, it's not. I think it wasn't the big ones. It was like an article on Box Office Mojo.
Oh yeah.
But they had a stat of like, there hasn't been this weekend or last weekend. Four movies all had $20 million weekends, and there hasn't been a weekend like that since 2007.
Jeez.
So, like, it shows that, like, there's a hunger, and it's all, like, I think, with the exception of Minecraft, I think it was all, like, newer IP stuff, or, like, original IP. So, like, there is a hunger, and so, like, it flies in the fucking face of, like, these fucking hit pieces that are, like...
Yeah.
Dave, it's such a cool movie, like...
Yeah, the reviews are
it's so cool,
pretty outlandish. Like, you don't get this often when people are like, you know, stop what you're doing, etc.
It's good. It's not like it's so funny. Like, I remember I was talking to someone at work, and they're like, you know, and like they never go to the movies, and they went and seen Oppenheimer, and they're like, boom. But like, because I had recommended, I was like, yeah, you should go see it. Like, it's a once in a lifetime, you know, like big
that
moment.
That was a piece of like movie history that we were part of.
It was like an event, like you should go see it.
Oppenheimer weekend,
all that stuff, and you know, went back and blew his mind. And so anyway, and he was like talking. He's like, "Oh, like I'm hearing a lot about the Sinners thing there." And I'm like, you know, like it's not the same type of movie, and the scale is different, but like it's just as, you know, unique. And like I don't know, it's cool to see, like, you know, everyone, like people that don't watch a lot of movies, or like their attention is only on, like, you know, Marvel's been eating up the space for so much time. And it's just nice to see, like, just a really well made movie, with believable characters, and just
we've been having more
such attention
lately
to detail. It's so nice to see, like, especially on a Hollywood scale. Like, we've had tons of great indies over the years, you know, like the A24.
Like, I remember Saltburn had its moment. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we've been having some good ones. The only other piece of news, this was in the trades. But it's relevant to us just because we've been talking about it for so long, is director Matt Reeves may drop out of the Batman 2 if Robert Pattinson isn't available to film this year, according to insider Jeff Snyder, who cited that this is a personal issue for Reeves, who wants to move forward with his career and is frustrated by the timeline. If he does drop out, Warner Brothers is likely to scrap the film entirely and focus solely on the James Gunn DCU.
Fuck.
So it sounds like...
Not the news I thought you were going to bring up. That just bummed me the fuck out.
Yeah, sorry. It sounds like, you know, Gunn hasn't... Like, okay, I don't have the full picture, but just, like, piecing together what I've heard over the last little while, Gunn, like, hasn't... And to be fair, this is, like, kind of a good rule, because, like, one of James Gunn's big, like, thesis statements when he took control was, like, you guys can't keep making movies that don't have finished scripts. This is how you keep ending up with shit movies. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to do it the old school way and, like, write the fucking movie first. Mm. And I don't care if you had a great first one. Like, you don't just to, like, you know, you don't get to figure it out as you go.
Sure.
And apparently the script, I don't know if they have a script yet for Batman 2. I don't know what the fuck is going on. Some people have said that Matt Reeves was having, like, real life personal issues. Mm. But maybe it's done now. If it is, I don't know if that has been confirmed or greenlit by James Gunn or not, but it apparently was very close. But Robert Pattinson is like a fucking A-list actor with other shit on the, like, he's being looked at for this Dune 3 movie. He's in some other shit. Like, he's a in-demand guy. And like, maybe the script has taken so long that, like, maybe he's booked for 2025, which would not be surprising at all. Like,
someone like him, definitely not.
Yeah, so if, like, you know, if you finish the script and February and you say, hey Robert, are you good to go for June? Like, that seems pretty unlikely that he wouldn't have. Anyway, so I wonder what the fuck the deal is. And it also wouldn't be surprising either if, like, maybe DC and Gunn were making it maybe kind of intentionally difficult to make this movie because they know it just further splinters their new
but
universe.
Then you see the stuff coming out of CinemaCon in Vegas a couple of weeks ago, and like, people weren't like fucking blown away by Superman either. Like, the what was shown there.
Remember,
so, like,
my early prediction, Grant.
I know. I at this point, I feel like I lost that one there, but
well,
I don't know.
Ways away.
We're ways away. July.
Yeah. Oh, man, maybe that's what. Maybe because the prediction, we have to see that one in theaters. We'll see.
Yeah.
But no, I know I'm bummed out too because, like, you know, you always want to be part of a new Batman, and you know, the whole Batfleck experiment was just such a mess, and that fucking Batman movie was so goddamn good.
I don't think. So here's my 2 cents on Gunn taking the reins on Batman. I don't think he would direct it. I think they would bring someone in, but, like, I don't think it's his style and it's in his image to go small.
To be clear, like, yeah, they wouldn't take over the Robert Pattinson.
No.
They just
even then,
kill it.
No, but what I'm saying is, like, whatever their take on Batman is,
general,
I don't think they're gonna. That's just not a. It's not Gunn's MO.
Yeah.
Even like his indie fucking slasher flicks and, like, you know, borderline gore films there. Like, it was always big and it was boom and it was that, like, you know, that was the success of the Batman. Like, you know, and there was others like similar to it, but, like,
it was local.
And even like Nolan, like, there was like a threading of the needle of the local and the big and the bombastic. And I can't see this DC, like it was so funny. I was talking to Devin about it. I was like, you're going to tell me the guy that's trying to stuff and make this CG Superman dog, they're not going to try and, like, keep a similar tone, like, in Batman, or they're gonna try. I know they're trying things with, like, they say they're doing a Swamp Thing movie, which
they also
we'll see,
when they announced, like, the DCU movie, they also said we're doing our own Batman, and it's gonna be the Brave and the Bold, where Robin is his son. It's some comic line,
Damian Wayne,
but then when he was pushed on or pressed on this, like, a couple months ago, people were asking where the fuck's the Pattinson movie. He was like, you know, that one's getting close, but still hasn't started production. And then they go, all right, what about The Brave and the Bold? He goes, yeah, that script needs more work. We're not touching it till it's ready. So it's like, I mean, he kind of has two Batman movies in parallel that are both not moving, but one's in his universe and one isn't. But at least for the one that isn't, like, it had a lot going for it. In that there's demand. People loved Pattinson. People loved Matt Reeves' take on it. So I don't know. I really hope they figure that shit the fuck out. Pattinson was in the news talking shit about it, being like, I was supposed to be, like, the young Batman, and I'm now older than Christian Bale was. So I don't know what the fuck they're doing. It's kind of wild, man.
That is wild. Wow, Christian Bale's like a 42-year-old man since he was 17, so.
Yeah, he's a skin suit person. Yeah. He's not really a person to compare yourself to. Anyway.
One last little bit of news. You see, it's so funny, because it only pops up on my algorithm because you talk about it. That Marvel's trying to coax their way out of being subpoenaed over the Justin Baldoni and Ryan Reynolds case?
No.
Yeah.
Really? Because Baldoni did subpoena, he asked for documents, right?
So everyone went after Marvel saying, because he's leaning on the whole Nice Pool thing. And,
yes.
You know, but,
which is interesting.
Which is, yeah.
Man, that guy's on scorched earth, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, it's just so funny. Like, none of these people are innocent. Like, they're all, like, super annoying.
This is it's similar to the, like, when everyone was so excited to watch this Johnny Depp Amber Heard case, and I'm not making light of it. It was dark. But I think what also became clear as you watched it is, like, both of these people fucking suck.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this isn't it's like, oh my God, what awful people. Yeah. And that's not making light of any all about abuse allegations. But yeah, is it surprising that Ryan Reynolds is out of his goddamn mind with his ego, and him and Blake are this power couple that trampled over everybody, and this Justin guy may be a fucking pervert as well? Like, I believe all those things are true.
I believe all of it, yeah.
Anyway, keep going.
Yeah. But no, it's just funny. Like, Marvel's trying to... Their whole point is like, oh yeah, like, you know, we have important documents, you know, that we need to keep private. And, like, you know, like, they try to blame it on the slate. But I understand, like, any lawyer with his salt is like, no, you can't let that monkey out of the bag there. Like, yeah, that's course. You know, like, once that's open, everyone's gonna see everything.
Yeah, you don't fight,
but what do you mean there's 4 Fantastic Four movies already lined up ready to go? You know,
did that actually come out, or you're saying that would be the kind of
wait
thing,
but
that
that's
would...
that, like, it would just, like, it would, you know, deep absolutely. dive. They find out exactly how much, you know, the deal with Robert Downey Jr. and officially started filming yesterday. That was cool to see.
Doomsday.
Yeah
well, kind of neat.
Yeah,
we'll see how that goes. I wonder if they're going to fucking bomb. They're taking a big swing with this. They're really risking it for the biscuit.
Yeah, those boys haven't made a good movie in a while. Since
they're bringing back the Russos, RDJ.
That's what I'm saying. Like, the Russos, like, they haven't done anything of significance.
Yeah, I feel bad for saying it, but it was a phrase by one of the guys on the on the big picture. It's like they're not filmmakers, they're stewards of IP. And it was yeah. like, ooh, what a mean thing to say, and how incredibly
that's
accurate.
That's a Chris Ryan joint.
It is, stewards of IP, because like they made some of the best MCU though. Films ever, and then it was like, okay, these guys are going to get to do whatever the fuck they want. Mm. And then they did, and it wasn't very good. Funny how that works.
When you fumble the bag, you fumble it.
Yeah. All right.
You got anything else, Dave?
No, man. This is good to be back.
Did you want to talk about the studio? Because I know you really wanted to, or you want to save that for next time.
Let's save it for next time, because I actually haven't seen anything since episode 2, and like I just need a whole refresher on where
I did watch episode 2 last night.
Oh, shit. Yeah. Do you want to talk about it?
I can wait.
All right.
Yeah.
We'll call that a tease.
Okay.
Post-show episode 143 in a couple weeks. We'll do a bit more of a deep dive on the studio. I'm way behind on it, and yeah. Okay. Thank you for listening. I haven't plugged our socials this whole time. Be very grateful for that.
Mm.
Past Dave, my future Dave, is going to do it a lot in the intro to make up for this. But please follow us on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. Subscribe to the podcast on Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you listen to podcasts. We're here relatively bi-weekly when we're not traveling internationally, which, jokes aside, is very rare. So yeah, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time. Grant, go ahead and say the thing.
Bye, guys.
Cheers.